In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was interesting looking over the texts today. I actually got caught up in Galatians, and there's an even simpler reading of Galatians that most people follow. And it's simply this: because God came, we are no longer under the law. Full stop, end sentence. Law doesn't exist anymore. That's how most people read that passage. Wrong, wrong, wrong. To read it that way allows us to continue on as how we are. To read it that way means that nothing we do here matters. To read it that way, all you have to do is be a good person. To read it that way makes Jesus Christ, the Son of God, plan B. Really? God's plan B? Now, a better reading would be to understand the words of Christ in the Gospels when he says, "I did not come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. I tell you truly, not one jot or tittle of the law will pass away until the earth and all flesh passes away." So what does that mean? There is a part of the law that we have been freed from. There is a part of the law that causes us to celebrate the coming of Christ at Christmas. And it's this: the law, as holy as it was, brings death. You've probably heard this saying before. It's from St. Paul: "For the wage of all sin is death." That's the law. The law was given by a holy God to bring holy people into communion with himself. He doesn't want people that have been created specifically for this being, for this reason. He wants people that can willingly choose to be in communion with God. He wants fellowship, not minions, as popular as that movie is. If then we were always meant for fellowship with God by our choice, Christ is not plan B. Christ is not a renewal of the failings of mankind. It's not the second option. If he is, was, and always will be, if he is the Word that was present with God at all of creation, he's plan A. That means that all of this was supposed to happen. We have a law that we can never fulfill. We're still under it. It still exists. But we are not condemned to eternal death by it. We have the ability to come before a holy and loving God, confessing our sins and being forgiven. We do no longer receive the penalty. We no longer face eternal death. That's the difference between the two readings. To read the other way, you don't need to be here. You don't need to worship God. You don't need to take the Eucharist. You don't need to have a church home. You don't need to worry about other people's cares or concerns. Where else do we see that? That is the ruling ideal of the day. That's what the rest of the world is like. That's not what Christians are supposed to be like. We don't lord it over those. We're not benefactors. We've been conquered and are slaves to Christ, and we are better people for it. Yes, we are no longer bound by the law, But that does not mean what people think it means. It doesn't mean you get to do what you want. Stop and think about it. If you look at the Old Testament, what did they used to do? Anybody know where the term scapegoat comes from? In the Old Testament, once a year they would offer sacrifices. They would slaughter animals and burn them on the altar. But there was always one that they always placed their hands upon and transferred all their sins to this goat and then set it free. They let it live. The goat carried their sins away. So they were good for another year. They were able to actually worship and be cleansed. That's what a scapegoat is. Christ came. We no longer have needs of sacrifices. We no longer have needs for scapegoats. This is a sacrifice and a celebration. The idea of animal sacrifice was actually putting off the penalties, trying to hedge their bets, so to speak. When you understand this bit about law and you reread the Gospel of John, it takes on a very different meaning. It is something to rejoice in. Look at the first words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God and all things came into being through Him. We've talked about this idea of He who always knew only divinity coming down and being fully divine and fully man and dwelling among us. Yet it's more than that, isn't it? It is the Creator of all that comes down to dwell among us, to live as one of us, to free us from the penalties of the law. That is an amazing thing. Unless we forget, Christmas is the beginning of that salvation. It is finally finished in Easter. The two being separate celebrations still can never be separated. But the fact that He always was, that from the beginning He was with God, means that He could not be Plan B. This is not us hedging our bets. In order for Christ to be God, in order for God to be God, there had to have always been a purpose for Him. Rejoice that He's Plan A. Rejoice that your Lord and Savior came on Christmas. Rejoice that you have a good and holy God that cares so deeply about His creation that He comes down and becomes Emmanuel, God with us, and frees us from the wages of sin. Amen.